Tomorrow presents Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Herbert W. Armstrong.
The television series called Roots was viewed by millions. Later on, it was rerun and viewed by more millions. It traced the origin of one black family or their roots back for a couple hundred years or so into Africa. Now the Jews know their roots. It's traced through the Bible, all the way back to the very first created man, Adam, and their mother, Eve. Also, the Arabs know that they are, almost every Arab knows he is descended from Ishmael, and Ishmael was a son of Abraham, mentioned in the Bible, and through that they have their roots all the way back to the first created man, Adam. Also, the Turkish people are generally known to be descended from Esau. They have their roots in Esau, and Esau is mentioned in the Bible, and you have his genealogy all the way back to the first created man, Adam. But where are our roots? Where are the roots of the American people, the Canadians, the English, and the people of Northwestern Europe, even of Germany? Why is our identity lost? Why is it we do not know where we are? Our identity is lost while other people can trace their ancestry and their roots all the way back. Well, I'm going to give you the answer. Because our roots can be traced, and we can come to know who we are, and I'm prepared to reveal that truth to you. Now, the Jews are pretty well recognized for who they are because of their recognition and continued recognition of the seventh-day Sabbath. It's known in so many quarters even as the Jewish Sabbath. But our people observe Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, why and how did the New Testament Lord's Day originate, and by what authority? I would like to even tell you that. All of this leads to an astounding truth that will be shocking to many of you. Now, the time has come to reveal that truth. Did you know that the first place in all of the Bible where the word Jews is mentioned is in the Bible in 2 Kings 16, verses 5 and 6. That's 2 Kings 16, verses 5 and 6. If you go back to some of the roots of Israel, and the first place where the name Jew is mentioned is in this particular scripture. I'll quote it. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came to Jerusalem to war. Now, this is the king of Israel allied with the king of Syria attacking Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, who was the king in Jerusalem, but they could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, the king of Syria, now allied with Israel, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. Now, there's the first place the Jews are mentioned, and they're at war with the ally of Israel. Israel is there allied with Syria. And Israel's ally drove the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. As you read in 2 Kings 16:6, the first place where Jews are mentioned, they were at war against Israel. Now, can you imagine that? The Jews at war against Israel. Why, doesn't everybody think that the Jews are Israel? But the truth is, they are not. The Jews are not Israel at all. And it's time we get some of these identities straightened out. Now, how were the Jews at war against Israel? Let me just explain that. After King Solomon of Israel died, his son Rehoboam came to the throne. Solomon had taxed the people very greatly. As a matter of fact, he had overtaxed them. And he was living in greater and more gorgeous splendor than any king ever had. The people of Israel sent their representative to King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who now was the king, and they said to him, if you will lighten our taxes and not put this burden on us like your father Solomon did, we will serve you. But if you do not, and if you're going to continue to tax us, we are going to reject you as our king. You will not be our king any longer. Rehoboam consulted the old men, and they advised him to give in and bring down the taxes. Then he consulted the young men, and they said, oh, tell them where to go to. And so he said to them, my father laid the taxes on you, but I'm going to make it a whole lot worse. I'm going to lay heavier taxes on you. And then Israel rejected him as king, and they took the man who had been, well, today we would call him the prime minister under Solomon, his name was Jeroboam, and they made him the king, and they set up the capital in Samaria, the city of Samaria, north of Jerusalem, some several miles north of Jerusalem. And they rejected Rehoboam as king. At that time, the tribe of Judah seceded from Israel and became the Kingdom of Judah. They took a new name. They became known as the Kingdom of Judah. Now the tribe of Benjamin went with them because they were located, adjoining them in territory anyway. And the first thing that the new king, Jeroboam, did was to change the seventh month festivals of Israel, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, to the eighth month. And also he changed the seventh day of the week, or the Sabbath day, from the seventh day to the eighth day, which was Sunday, or the first day of the week, the beginning of another week. And so a great division was made. Now the next thing that King Jeroboam did was to put away all of the Levites who were the priestly tribe. They were the better educated people. They were the most highly educated, the most affluent people in Israel, but he put them away because he was afraid they would lead the people back to King Rehoboam and Jeroboam would lose out on his throne. And so the tribe of Levi joined with Judah also, and the three tribes of Judah, Benjamin and Levi, became known as the Kingdom of Judah. They were not Israel. They were now the Kingdom of Judah. Now for the time of 17 different kings and seven dynasties, the kings of Israel continued to rebel against their God, the Creator. And finally, God had warned them that he would drive them out, and finally he did. And now we trace the history of what happened in 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 5. 2 Kings, 17th chapter, beginning with verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went to Samaria, Israel's capital, and Israel's land. The whole land was called Samaria by that time, and besieged it 3 years. Now that was from 721 to 718 B.C. And it said he besieged it 3 years. That's from 721 to 718 B.C. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Israel, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel, no, not the Jews, carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan. Well, this was in the southern shores, near the general area, the southern shores of the Caspian Sea, and in the cities of the Medes. Therefore, the Lord, or the Eternal, was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only, or the kingdom of Judah. They were left with a capital in Jerusalem, and that was all of Israel that was left in Palestine, in that land, the original so-called Holy Land. Now continuing in verse 23, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all the servants, the prophets, so was Israel, now not the Jews, but Israel, carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. That is the day that this was written. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. In other words, the people called Israel had been moved out of their land. Now they had dwelt in the land called Samaria, and only the kingdom of Judah remained in Judea, or the land surrounding Jerusalem. But Samaria was in northern Palestine, and they were all moved from their farms, from their cities, from their homes, over to the southern shores of the Caspian Sea, and placed them, that is these Gentiles from Babylon and other cities over there, and people that followed the Babylonian mystery religion, incidentally, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. Now they were the ones who were called Samaritans in the time of Christ. Now the Jews in the time of Christ were from the kingdom of Judah. And they are the ones that Christ came to, his own. Christ himself was of the tribe of Judah, and he came to his own who received him not. So the nation Israel finally lost its identity. It was driven out away from God. They lost their identity and became known as the Lost Ten Tribes. They lost the Hebrew language. They had turned from the seventh to the eighth month. They had turned from the seventh day of the week to the eighth day. And God, meantime, had made an everlasting covenant with Israel. It's recorded back in Exodus 31. He had made a covenant with them that was for all eternity. An everlasting covenant with all Israel. This was long before the division between Israel and Judah. This goes clear back into the days of Moses. Now I want to read you that covenant. And it is in Exodus 31, and beginning, well, I'll begin here with verse 13, where God said to Moses, speak to also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it, that is the Sabbath, is a sign between you and me. In other words, between God and Israel, or between God and his people, between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, or that I am the Lord that sets you apart from other nations. Sanctify means set apart. Therefore, the scripture continues, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. So it was a covenant, it was perpetual, never to end, Now, incidentally, let me mention this is a covenant, and it is no part of the Old Covenant. It was made after the Old Covenant had been, well, we might say signed, sealed, and ratified, and ratified by blood, as you read back in the 23rd, 24th chapters of Exodus. And this is in Exodus 31. Now, verse 17, it is a sign between me, that is God, and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord, or the Eternal, made heaven and earth, and in the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, a sign is an identifying mark. A retail merchant hangs a sign out in front of his store. Oh, it might say Jones and Company Furniture. It tells and identifies who owns it. Jones owns it, Jones and Company. And what is it? It's a furniture store. Or it might say drugs or whatever. So it was made an everlasting covenant. It was no part of the old covenant, which was abolished at the cross. It was a separate covenant that was eternal and, as a matter of fact, continues on today, if you know who Israel is. Now, the main nation, Israel, had lost its identity, and the Jewish people from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin and Levi, only remained. They were all that remained in the land of Palestine. Later, they were taken away to Babylon, and even after that, then a certain colony was sent back to Jerusalem 70 years later to rebuild the temple, which had been destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon along about 585 B.C. But the nation of Judah retained their identity because they retained the seventh-day Sabbath, which was the sign that identified them. It identified God because in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and rested. It identified him because creation is the proof of God, and creation identifies God and who God is. And so it identified God to them. It identified them not only to God but to the world. Now, the Jews kept the Sabbath sign, and they today suppose that they are Israel because they keep the Sabbath. And yet they are only Judah and not Israel. And Israel was driven out and became lost. Now, they lost the Sabbath. They did not keep it. They had turned to the eighth day, or which became, of course, the first day of the next week, or Sunday. Now, after 718 B.C., lost Israel and Assyria moved west and northwest. They moved from the southern shores of the Caspian Sea, and by the time Judah was taken to Babylon, they had already moved. It was more than 100 years before when Israel was taken captive, and now they had moved west and northwest. Now, the Assyrians had settled in the land that we call Germany today, and the Germans of today have their roots back in ancient Assyria. They don't know that, and they don't know who they are. The 10 tribes moved on into Western Europe and into the British Isles. And it's pretty well identified today that especially the Northern French, the French people, are the descendants of the tribe of Reuben. That the British were the descendants of Joseph. And Joseph was really divided into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, they were quite a colonizing nation. They colonized all over the world, and that's a matter of history that gets down to our time. It's just recently that Britain has lost so many of her colonies. But she did possess India, she possessed most of Africa, she possessed countries all over the world. And she finally grew rich in that way. She was a colonizing people, and the Bible says she was to lose her first colony. And the first colony had come to the United States. Now, I have my ancestry back, and my ancestors migrated from England to the United States. about 1660 or something like that, or 1670, with William Penn and settled in Pennsylvania, named after William Penn. They were Quakers, by the way. And so Pennsylvania is called the Quaker State. That's its nickname. But how can we learn and recognize our national roots? The first colony of England migrated to the United States and are identified, if you will study it closely and with many, many texts and passages in different places in the Bible, as the descendants of the tribe of Manasseh, one of the 12 tribes of ancient Israel, and part of the 10 lost tribes that lost their identity and don't even know that they are Israel and think they are Gentiles, and the world thinks so, and the world doesn't know where their roots or where they came from, because they became lost. They lost their language. Now we find today they're speaking the English language. Of course, the English language didn't exist back 700 years before Christ. And the Assyrians had settled in Germany. All of that is a remarkable thing in giving us the roots of the history of our own people, where we came from, who we are, and we can trace our identity all the way, just like other nations can, back to the first created human being, Adam, and his wife that God made from him, for him, called Eve. And all humanity has come from them. And we can have our identity back that far. Now, I have written a book which through many years now has gone out to, I was going to say millions of people. I don't just recall how many million. I don't think we've kept a record of the exact number. But this book with the United States and Britain in prophecy, millions of people have read it. It's the most circulated book that we have ever put out, and I want to announce it once again, and that will give you some startling information about our ancestry, about your own roots, where you came from. And not only that, it is the key to understanding biblical prophecy, and it shows you what Bible prophecy says is going to happen to the United States in the next few years. Now you wonder, where are we going from here? The world is in trouble, and the United States is approaching trouble, many troubles. And it's all written in the Bible, and you can't understand it without this knowledge of our identity, of our own roots, who we are, where we came from, and where we're going. The book that is the United States and Britain in prophecy. Now there's no charge. All you have to do is request it. It's an illustrated book. It's a good many pages, and it will not only identify you and give you the key to understanding all prophecies, but it specifically pinpoints the United States and where we are mentioned as nations, the British and the American people, in biblical prophecy, and what is going to happen in the next few years. What already has happened in Britain is recorded there incidentally. Now, at the same time, I want to send you another booklet along with it, Where is the True Church Today? I've said something about that in recent programs. The True Church of God has had great difficulty. It has been a persecuted church, and great false churches have risen up. But Jesus Christ said that the gates of the grave would never prevail against his church, and it does still exist today. Where is it? This booklet will tell you that. Now also, the finest magazine in the world is published by our organization, called The Plain Truth. 7 million circulation. 7 million copies per month going out, which makes it one of the largest magazines in the world. It is a very large mass circulation magazine all over the world, and it has a lot to do about the Olympics in this number, because they're coming to Los Angeles. And here's an article, Tomorrow's News Today. and that refers to biblical prophecy. Prophecy is telling or forecasting what is going to happen before it happens. You get the news of the future today. You know, when you get news on television or in the newspaper, as one comic said, it should be called old because it's already happened. It's already old. If it's even less than 24 hours, it's old and should be called old, he said. Well, news is what is new, and it's going to happen. And it's just as sure as if it had already happened, but it hasn't happened yet. Now, here's another article, Whatever Happened to Good Sportsmanship? And that is concerned about the Olympics. Whatever happened to good sportsmanship? Now, here's another article, D-Day, the untold story, has come out at last. And it's about D-Day and how it led to the winning of World War II and how God Almighty managed the result of that war and what happened. And it wasn't just by the might or the armies of the Allies, but God himself determined the outcome of that war. There's some news here that is going to surprise you. Now, the Plain Truth is the most important magazine. It is the finest magazine, the best illustrated magazine in the world, and there's no subscription price. Now, this is it's in its 50th year already. It's not a new magazine. It's been out for a long, long time. And it is the only magazine in the world, so far as I know, that has never increased or raised its subscription price. Its subscription price is zero. You don't have enough money to buy it. But you can subscribe by just sending in and or calling in by telephone. I'll give you the number immediately, and you will have your subscription absolutely free. But you have to request it for yourself. Now, you simply send your name, your address, your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong. If you send it by mail, just Pasadena, California. That's all the address you need. The zip code is 91123. 91123. Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California. But, better yet, just go to the telephone right now and call 1-800, it's a free call, 800-423-4444. That is, you dial 1, then 800, then the regular number is 423-4444. It's a free call. Call in immediately and for these booklets and your year's subscription. So, until next time, Herbert W. Armstrong, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong. For the free literature offered on this program, send your request along with the call letters of this day.